This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, August 14th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Global stocks steady as a degree of calm returns to markets in Turkey.
Still tensions with the U.S. show no signs of letting up.
Growth momentum slows in China while GDP in Germany picks up.
Elon Musk taps Goldman Sachs and Silver Lake in his bid to take Tesla private.
A car has crashed into barriers outside the UK Parliament. Plus, President Trump signed defense legislation named for Senator McCain, but it's what Trump did not say that's making news. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The one-game Subway Series makeup goes to the Mets. They hit five home runs, beat the Yankees 8-5. Giants are calling it a mild hamstring injury suffered by rookie running back Saquon Barkley.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit uscfinvestments.com. That's uscfinvestments.com.
Global stocks rebounding as a degree of calm returns to markets in Turkey. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 9 points. Dow futures up 76. NASDAQ futures up 33. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. The CAC in Paris is up 0.1%. FTSE 100 little changed. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 2.3%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.89%. Yield on the 2-year 2.62%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 65 cents to $67.85 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.25%, up $2.70 to $12.01.60 an ounce. The euro, $1.1404, the yen, 110.96, and the Turkish lira, 6.5642 per dollar. Bob.
And Karen, stocks and bonds in Turkey are also rebounding after yesterday's turmoil. President Erdogan this morning says the country is facing an economic attack and that there is no reason to warrant the recent decline in the lira. At the same time, tensions between the U.S. and Turkey show no signs of letting up. Bloomberg's Yusuf Kemal Aldin is in Istanbul with the latest. Good morning, Yusuf.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. The story here in Turkey is moving rapidly. On the political front, we understand that there have been deliberations with the White House top security chief John Bolton and the Turkish ambassador to the United States to try and find a way out of the standoff around the American pastor that's being held in Turkey. Nothing tangible came out of those talks, so there is a potential for more deterioration there. And then you're looking at the other front in terms of credibility with international investors. A relief rally is underway across the board, Turkish bonds, Turkish stocks, and the Turkish lira as well. The liquidity injection from the central bank helped stabilize the currency, but for how long? And we're going to get more direction later on in the day. The president of Turkey is going to be speaking again, and also the finance minister is going to go on a teleconference with over 1,000 investors. So plenty to digest. In Istanbul, I'm Yusuf Gemeneddin, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Yusuf, thank you. President Erdogan is also calling for a boycott of U.S. electronic devices. Veteran emerging markets investor Mark Mobius tells us he has deep concerns about the standoff between the United States and Turkey.
I didn't realize that Trump would be so tough as regards to Brunson and getting his return. Now we see a real bargaining taking place between the two leaders, and both of them are strong and are probably not willing to compromise.
Mark Mobius says there's a real possibility that Turkey will impose capital controls to stem the plunge in its currency. That, he says, would be bad for the whole developing nation asset class.
Stocks in Asia mostly steadied today as that contagion from Turkey remains contained in developed markets. Bloomberg's Juliet Saleh reports from Singapore.
The regional benchmark index was boosted by a strong performance from Japan's Nikkei, which rose by 2.2%, its best one-day gain since March. Disappointing Chinese data weighed on Chinese equities, however. While China's bonds rose, the CSI 300 closed down by 0.5%. Hong Kong tech stocks were hammered as Sunny Optical missed with its first half numbers, weighing on its stock, as well as Tencent and AAC Tech. Elsewhere, India's rupee slipped to a record low as the Turkey-led rout continued to hurt EM currencies. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Saleh, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Let's get more on that disappointing economic data out of China now. For that, we turn to Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis.
Industrial output rose 6% versus a projected 6.3% in a Bloomberg survey. Retail sales expanded 8.8%, and that compared to estimates of 9.1%. China's economy is losing momentum just as policymakers brace for a trade war. Fixed asset investment up 5.5% in the first 7 months, but that compared to an estimate of 6%. Now, officials have vowed to boost lending to smaller companies and to increase infrastructure investment, but that will take some time to take effect. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Brian. Euro area growth data in focus this morning, with the euro area GDP expanding by 0.4% in the second quarter. That beat estimates and suggests some of the worries at the start of the year may have been overdone. Meantime, in Germany, Europe's largest economy recorded growth of 0.5% in the period.
In the UK, unemployment has dropped to a 43-year low. The jobless rate stood at 4% in the 3 months through June. At the same time, there's little sign of wage gains, with pay growth slowing to 2.4%.
Turning to corporate news now, Elon Musk says he's getting advice from Goldman Sachs and private equity firm Silver Lake as part of his bid to take Tesla private. The CEO says he's also lined up legal advisors for a possible transaction. A spokesman for Tesla says Musk's comments refer to his own advisors and attorneys. Tesla board members didn't immediately respond to requests for comment.
Activist investor Carl Icahn has dropped his fight to block Cigna's $54 billion acquisition of Express Scripts. The move comes after two prominent shareholder advisory firms came out in support of the deal. Icahn had previously said the deal would be a travesty if it were to proceed.
Home Depot is out with quarterly results. The company posted sales and earnings per share that topped estimates. Home Depot also boosted its forecast for the year. The stock is up more than 2% in early trading.
Bain Capital has agreed to buy the British insurer eAssure, the price about $1.5 billion. That represents a 37% premium to Friday's closing price.
And we're also watching digital currencies this morning. After Bitcoin dropped below $6,000 overnight, dozens of other digital tokens are also tumbling as this month's sell-off in cryptocurrency shows few signs of letting up. Checking Bitcoin right now, it is trading at $6,055. S&P futures up 10 points. This is Bloomberg. And that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get the latest at home and around the world now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. London police say a man has been arrested after he crashed his car into security barriers outside the Houses of Parliament. Several pedestrians were injured, but London's Metropolitan Police say no one is in a life-threatening condition. Police are treating it as a terrorist incident. Nearly 8 inches of rain fell in Brick Township, New Jersey yesterday, leading to severe flooding, forcing the evacuation of dozens of people. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy surveyed the hard-hit areas.
I promise you we're going to work together and try to find every available resource we can.
In Lehigh, Pennsylvania, dozens of rafters had to be rescued from a swollen river. Voters in Connecticut head to the polls today for their primaries. Five Republican gubernatorial candidates are vying to be the one man who will try in November to regain control of the state's top job after nearly 8 years of Democratic rule. Three other states hold primaries today, Minnesota, Vermont, and Wisconsin. President Trump signed defense legislation named for Senator John McCain at Fort Drum, New York yesterday. Trump did not mention McCain's name. Later, Trump traveled to Utica to campaign for Republican Congressman Claudia Tenney. Trump talked about the fight over gun laws and Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Cuomo wants to take away your Second Amendment. Now, he called me and he said, I'll never run for president against you, but maybe he wants to. Oh, please do it. Please.
The president also touted his economic record. White House National Security Advisor John Bolton is said to have warned Turkey's ambassador the U.S. has nothing further to negotiate until a detained American pastor is freed. Meanwhile, a high-ranking Russian official is in Turkey. Bloomberg's Tony Halpin is in Moscow.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov continues a visit to Turkey on Tuesday at a time when Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan is warning that tensions with NATO ally the United States may prompt him to seek new friends. Erdogan and Russian President Vladimir Putin spoke Friday as the crisis with the Turkish lira intensified. Washington's imposition of sanctions on Turkey has stirred Russian hopes of deepening divisions between the allies to undermine the military alliance. In Moscow, Tony Halpin, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael moves us along to 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, John Stashower.
Morning, Bob. For one night anyway, bragging rights to the Mets in the makeup game at the stadium. Ahmed Rosario led off with what turned out to be the first of five Met home runs. Jose Bautista, fourth inning, also off the still-struggling Luis Severino. And then the Yankees' A.J. Cole served up three more homers. Ex-Yank Todd Frazier in the sixth inning. Brandon Nimmo and Michael Conforto went back-to-back in the seventh. The Mets beat the Yankees 8-5. And what's up with Severino? A month ago, considered a candidate for the Cy Young Award, his ERA over his last seven starts is 7.5. Here's the manager, Aaron Boone.
Well, I mean, we got to help and find and get to the bottom of it. You know, physically, I think he's sound, but we got to, you know, we got to get this righted, and that's on all of us because he's so important. Obviously, he's so dynamic when he's right.
Meanwhile, Jacob DeGrom finally evened his record at 7-7. Should be much better. He has the lowest ERA in the majors. He was grateful for some run support.
Yeah, it was nice. Like I said before, I try not to think about the score. I try to go out there and just continue to put up zeros. Wasn't able to do that tonight. Gave up a couple, but, you know, these guys did a good job of scoring some runs for me.
Mets now go to Baltimore. The Yankees stay home for Tampa Bay. They have put C.C. Sabathia on the disabled list, knee inflammation, so he'll miss at least one start. The Giants are in Detroit. Joint practices the next 3 days with the Lions ahead of the preseason game there on Friday. Saquon Barkley has a mild hamstring injury, so may not play at all this week. The Jets are working out with the Redskins in Richmond, Virginia. There was a big fight on Sunday. The two teams will play on Thursday, and the rookie Sam Darnold may well be the Jets' starting quarterback. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, thank you. NFL games will be played at Wembley Stadium on three consecutive weekends for the first time because the new home being built for English Premier League club Tottenham won't be ready. The soccer team said it would be unable to host the Seahawks-Raiders game on October 14th because of safety issues at the stadium, which is in the final stages of construction. Wembley also will host Tennessee and the LA Chargers October 21st and the Philadelphia Eagles and Jacksonville Jaguars a week later. The Sports Update brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank. With strong relationships and customized solutions, they work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Home Depot up 2.4% in early trading. This after second quarter profit beat analyst estimates and comp sales jumped 8% in the quarter. Bloomberg Daybreak, meanwhile, out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. There's calm after the storm. Global equities are advancing as markets steady after the Turkey turmoil. Still, the US is keeping the pressure on Turkey, warning there'll be no negotiations until the detained American pastor is released. President Erdogan remains defiant, urging supporters to boycott US goods. China's economy hit a rough patch in July. Industrial output and retail sales missed estimates, while fixed asset investment was the slowest in nearly 20 years. And key primaries in Minnesota today may determine control of the House. Four of the state's eight House races are rated as toss-ups by the nonpartisan Cook Political Report. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah George, thank you. And the National Federation of Independent Businesses Small Business Optimism Index rose to 107.9 in July. Economists were looking for a decline. S&P futures up 9.5 points, Dow futures up 91, NASDAQ futures up 33. The DAX in Germany's up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.89%. Yield on the 2-year 2.62%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 55 cents at $67.75 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $2.70 at $12.01.60 an ounce. The euro $1.1404. The yen 111.01. The Turkish lira 6.5755 per dollar. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, one man is in custody in London after he crashed a vehicle into security barriers outside the Houses of Parliament, injuring several pedestrians. London police are treating it as a terrorist incident. Today's incident comes more than a year after Khalid Massoud plowed a car into crowds on Westminster Bridge, killing four people. The spokesman for the defense ministry in Kabul says the Taliban have overrun a military base in northern Afghanistan, killing 17 soldiers and wounding at least 19 troops. In baseball, the Mets beat the Yankees 8-5. The Nationals lost. The A's and Giants won. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thanks, Michael. The clock just ticking over to 6:20 on Wall Street. As we just heard from Hannah George, it looks like the trade war is doing more than just brewing. It's starting to bite China's growth momentum. Joining us now from our Hong Kong studio, Enda Curran, Chief Asia Economist for Bloomberg Economics. Good morning and welcome. How significant is this growth stall, not only for the Chinese economy, but for that matter, global growth?
Good morning indeed. It is significant in that it confirms China's economy is on something of a moderating path right now. Although it's important to say that what's happening has been largely domestically driven. China is pushing through this broader policy mix to try and get a grip on the level of debt in the overall economy. And so they're trying to slow the pace of credit growth. And that has had an impact on activity. Now, the issue is that is coming right at the same time as they're starting to face into what's expected to be the brunt of the trade war in the coming months. So China's facing a slowing economy because of domestic policies. It's facing into the trade war, which is expected to hurt demand. And of course, remember, China, as the world's second biggest economy, is actually the biggest contributor to global growth. So a slowdown in China does, of course, matter to the rest of Asia and, of course, the world.
Is there a sense that Chinese officials get this, or do they have to do a lot more?
They do get it. We've already had some signs of a shift among policymakers. They are talking about taking more pro-growth steps. They are not talking about wholesale or widespread stimulus in of the kind that we saw maybe a decade ago after the financial crisis back then. We're talking about more nuanced, targeted measures. They're trying to get banks to lend to smaller and medium-sized businesses, for example. They're trying to send money towards infrastructure projects. So they're trying to target those areas of the economy that need the money, in their view, rather than a wholesale opening of the spigots.
Is this the kind of thing that they can turn around quickly, or is this more of a battleship move, if you will?
Well, it's an interesting question. And in fact, that probably is the big question. How long before we see the mini stimulus, so to speak, actually have an impact on demand? Will it take months or will it be sooner than that? I think if we go another couple of months and we're not seeing tangible signs of an upturn in China's economy, well then, it being a managed economy and one of their real objectives being to hit a growth target this year of 6.5%, then there is a feeling that the policymakers might start to take their foot off the brake even more and top it up with extra stimulus. So it's a question of how effective and how near and how quickly the stimulus steps are taking right now will impact growth.
As I alluded to at the outset, this loss of momentum is happening just as China is bracing for a possibly protracted trade conflict with the U.S. How important is that as a factor?
Quite right. I mean, we haven't really seen much of an impact on China's economy from all of the trade tensions so far. The tariffs implemented are on a basket of $50 billion worth of Chinese exports. It's when we go into the next level of tariffs that things might get more material. For example, as you know, the US government is talking about putting tariffs of up to 25% on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods, and then they may double up on that again with another $200 billion. So if we go down that path, and China itself, of course, retaliates, which they have threatened to do, then there is a view that you could have a material hit on China's economy. It would be a drag on demand, and certainly it would be a complication for China in its overall strategy of trying to also get a grip on the level of debt in its economy, which is a key priority for the government.
And what's the threat that they lose control of this and things go badly south?
Yeah, there is certainly a feeling that China does have more to lose than the US. It depends on which economist you speak to, of course. But there's no doubt, for example, on the one hand, they cannot match the US dollar for dollar on tariffs. That means they would have to go down the road of non-tariff barriers to try and tackle US multinationals and so on operating in China. But that doesn't come without a cost for China's own economy. It could be inflationary. It could hurt demand on the ground. It could hurt Chinese workers who are working for US firms and the like. But nonetheless, though, despite those complications, China continues to make it clear that they are girding for the long haul on this. And that's why some of these early steps to go towards more of a pro-growth policy shift is an indication that they are settling into battle this one out.
Enda Curran is Chief Asia Economist at Bloomberg Economics. He has joined us from our Hong Kong Bureau. Thank you very much. Let's take a forward look at the markets now. S&P futures up 11 points. That is 0.4%. Dow futures higher by 105 points. NASDAQ futures adding 37 points. 10-year Treasury prices down 5/32 this morning. The yield back up to 2.8967%. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning to you. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are rebounding after yesterday's turmoil over Turkey. U.S. futures and European equities are gaining. The dollar is weaker and the Turkish lira is strengthening.
Still, tensions between the U.S. and Turkey show no signs of letting up. Bloomberg's Simon Demirkan reports from Istanbul.
Sources tell Bloomberg that President Trump's top national security aide warned Turkey's ambassador that the U.S. has nothing further to negotiate until the detained American pastor is freed. People familiar with the matter tell us no progress was made during the meeting. Meanwhile, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has lashed out at the United States, threatening to find new alliances and new markets. In Istanbul, Simon Demirkan, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Simon, thank you. Elon Musk has taken to Twitter again to give details of his controversial plan to take Tesla private. The CEO says he's getting advice from Goldman Sachs and private equity firm Silver Lake.
Home improvement at Home Depot. It's reporting second quarter sales that topped estimates. The chain says same-store sales increased 8%, topping projections of 6.5%. Shares of Home Depot are up about 2% in early trading.
In the UK, unemployment dropped to a new 43-year low in the second quarter, but the pace of wage growth eased. The jobless rate stood at 4% compared to estimates of 4.2%.
In the euro area, the economy grew faster in the second quarter than initially reported. Expansion was revised to 0.4%. That's up from a prior reading of 0.3%.
And China's economy has stalled. Data on retail sales, industrial output, and fixed asset investment all came in lower than estimated in July.
And it is coming up on 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for your volatility index report. The VIX rose yesterday to close at 14.78. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is now falling. It is down to 13.74. That's this morning's volatility report.
S&P futures higher, up almost 12 points. Dow futures up 105. NASDAQ futures up about 40. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. The CAC in Paris up about the same. FTSE 100, little changed, up less than 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.89%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.63%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 67 cents to $67.87 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3% or $3.30 to $12.02.10 an ounce. The euro at $1.1411, the yen at 111 even, and the Turkish lira at 6.5541 per dollar. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now, 6:33 on Wall Street, another apparent vehicle ramming attack. Let's get the latest from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. London Metropolitan Police are treating today's incident as a terrorist attack after several pedestrians were injured after a car crashed into the barriers at the UK Parliament. London police say the driver of the car was arrested. The incident took place during morning rush hour in London. The injured pedestrians are expected to survive. Primaries take place today in four states. In Connecticut, five Republicans are running for governor, and they'll try to break 8 years of Democratic rule for the state's top job. Key primaries in Minnesota today may determine who controls the House after November. Four of its eight House races are rated as toss-ups by the nonpartisan Cook Political Report. President Trump returned to the campaign trail ahead of the midterm elections at a fundraiser for Republican Congresswoman in Utica. Last night, the president cited economic gains to appeal to voters.
The one thing we know, and they do say, anybody that runs against Trump suffers. That's the way it should be.
Earlier, from Utica, the president signed defense legislation named for Senator John McCain at Fort Drum, New York, without once mentioning the Arizona Republican's name. The prosecution has rested its case against Donald Trump's one-time campaign manager. Bloomberg's Martin DeCaro has the latest on the financial crimes trial of Paul Manafort.
It's now up to defense lawyers to decide if they'll call witnesses after the government called 27 over 10 days. But today's proceedings will begin with arguments on a defense motion asking the judge to dismiss the charges. The government's final witness was a special agent with the Treasury Department. She testified it had no record of any of Manafort's companies reporting foreign bank accounts over a three-year period. That's a key aspect of the prosecution's case. They accuse Manafort of lying about his income and cheating the IRS. In Washington, Martin DeCaro, Bloomberg Radio.
Severe flooding from heavy rain in the Northeast delayed more than 1,000 flights nationwide and forced water rescues across the region yesterday. Nearly 8 inches of rain fell in Brick Township, New Jersey yesterday, impacting hundreds of homes and businesses. This woman was trying to salvage photos from her flooded home.
Very precious. I mean, they have no price. At least for me, memories are everything.
In central Pennsylvania, dozens of rafters had to be rescued from a swollen river. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you. Now 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. A one-game Subway Series makeup at the stadium. Both had all-stars on the mound, and the Mets' Jacob deGrom, who's got the lowest ERA in the majors, much better than the Yankees' Luis Severino, who went to that all-star game 14-2, but is 1-4 since. Mets beat the Yankees 8-5, and Aaron Boone was asked about Severino.
You know, again, more trouble there in the first inning where, you know, he's just, that first inning, just not as crisp as, you know, really with any of the pitches. I thought the Mets did a good job with his slider of being able to lay off it some pitches that sometimes are chases, and then they put some good swings on sliders as well.
Med Rosario hit a leadoff home run, first of five Met homers. Jose Bautista hit one off Severino. Todd Frazier, Brandon Nimmo, Michael Conforto, all off reliever A.J. Cole. Everybody in the Met lineup had a hit. They had 15 hits in all, and they end up going 3-3 against the Yanks this season. A scare at Giants camp, the sight of rookie running back Saquon Barkley limping. They call it a minor hamstring injury. Unlikely to play Friday's game in Detroit. The Giants are in Detroit now. They're having joint practices with the Lions all this week, as the Jets are doing in Richmond, Virginia, with the Redskins, who they will play on Thursday. The day after Tiger Woods nearly won the PGA Championship, Ryder Cup captain Jim Furyk asked if he'll pick Tiger to play next month in France.
Do you think he can help you?
It's a good question. He's playing very well. I think there's a lot of folks out there that probably think he can help us. And we'll, you know, really what we wanted to talk about today was the top eight players. I realize Tiger's a story. I realize he's playing very well, and I'm excited to see that.
Woods had already committed to be Furyk's assistant, but now considered a shoe-in to be on the U.S. roster. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob.
John, thank you very much. Now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
By the scandalous standards of recent immigration policy, it may seem like small potatoes, but the finding of a new GAO report on building a southern border wall should not pass unnoticed. The plan is being carried out, according to the report, quote, without key information on cost. The administration has yet to explain the rationale for a 2,000-mile wall that will do little to stem illegal immigration. It commissioned designs without securing support for the idea in Congress or from the public. Congress is responsible for controlling government spending. President Trump is threatening to shut down the government if he doesn't get money for his wall. The GAO report is one more reason why Congress should deny him. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. The Congressional Budget Office is lowering its forecast for U.S. economic growth. Details from Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini.
The nonpartisan group now says the U.S. economy will likely expand only 3.1% this year. That's down from its previous forecast of 3.3% in April, and it cites uncertainty from U.S. plans to widen tariffs as the reason. The CBO also forecast in April the expansion will slow even more to just 2.4% in 2019 on slowing growth in business investment and government purchases. And the group is also warning the U.S. budget deficit is on track to top $1 trillion by 2020 from $804 billion this fiscal year. Denise Pellegrini, Bloomberg Radio.
Denise, thank you very much. It is now 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. The headline sounds dramatic. Smoke from California's wildfires is dimming solar power output. The reality is something short of dramatic, but the news is still an intriguing indicator of just how widespread and smoky the state's plague of wildfires has been. The smoke billowing from the historic firestorm outbreak is affecting the amount of solar energy reaching massive installations of solar panel arrays built in some of the state's wide-open areas. First Solar operates more than 2 gigawatts of solar farms in the state. That's equivalent to about 2 nuclear reactors. And the company has seen production dip at installations near fires, though the slumps in generation have been very minimal, it says. It likens them to the impact of passing clouds on solar panels and says the reduced output has not reached a level of concern. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures currently up 11 points, that is 0.4%. The 10-year yield at 2.8949%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Check out at TikTok by Bloomberg, the first and only global news network built for Twitter. It's 24/7 news streaming live on Twitter. Follow us at TikTok. That's TICTOC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. This update is brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com. Futures are climbing this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are rebounding from yesterday's losses, with Dow futures up 97 points, S&P's gain 11, and the Nasdaq futures climbed by 39. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.89%, and the Nikkei gained 2.3% overnight, while European markets are also posting modest gains this morning. Back in the U.S., on the economic front at 8:30, the import price index, and after the bell last night, Switch lowered full-year revenue guidance. Shares are down 25% in the pre-market. And regarding earnings this morning, Home Depot and Advance Auto Parts both beat estimates. In deal news, Carl Icahn gave up his fight to prevent Cigna's takeover of Express Scripts. And in other news, Salesforce price target raised to a street high 178 over at Morgan Stanley. Wrapping things up, Commercial Metals was raised to neutral at Goldman Sachs, Switch downgraded to neutral at JP Morgan, and Marriott upgraded to outperform over at Raymond James. Live from the First Bank News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, London's Metropolitan Police say that they are treating a crash outside of Parliament as a terrorist incident. Authorities say that a man in his 20s was arrested after his car collided with a number of cyclists and pedestrians before crashing into the barriers during the morning rush hour. Key primaries in Minnesota today may determine who controls the House after November. Four of its eight House races are rated as toss-ups. Primaries also take place in Connecticut for the gubernatorial race. Primaries will also be held in Vermont and Wisconsin. A raised highway has partially collapsed in the northern Italian port city of Genoa. There was no immediate word on deaths or injuries. In baseball, the Mets beat the Yankees 8-5. The Nationals lost. The A's and Giants won. And finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, singer Aretha Franklin remains gravely ill in Detroit. It is said that Franklin, who is 76, is surrounded by loved ones and friends. Last night, Bob, Beyonce, and Jay-Z performed in Detroit and dedicated their show to the Queen of Soul.
Yeah, I have just seven letters in tribute. R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
You got it. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. It is now 6:49, coming up on 6:50 on Wall Street. Time we check in what's going on in D.C. The agenda in our nation's capital today includes a quiet schedule for President Trump. He has lunch with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo at the White House. Vice President Mike Pence travels to Cincinnati to campaign for gubernatorial candidate Mike DeWine. And the government issues the import and export price index at 8:30 this morning. We are also watching the diplomatic standoff between the U.S. and Turkey, and joining us now with more is Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good morning. Not only do we not see any sign of these tensions easing, but apparently the rhetoric is actually heating up out of the president's national security advisor.
Yeah, it looks like both sides are really digging in here. You know, Bolton essentially said yesterday that the U.S. wasn't going to negotiate, essentially until Turkey backed off its position on the American pastor that's been at the center of this dispute. There's no sign of that happening. Erdogan, the Turkish president, spoke this morning and will speak again in a little while, and essentially said that you know, his country is standing firm as well in their position, that they're not rattled by the recent market fluctuations and, you know, the U.S. doubling of tariffs on metals, and also announced that Turkey or encouraged Turkish citizens to boycott the import of U.S. electronic products. So it looks as though Turkey is basically digging in on its position as the U.S. is digging in on its position as well.
Yeah, that's Turkey's side. I wonder, is there any sense that the Trump administration could and is prepared to make life even more miserable for President Erdogan?
I think so. I mean, they haven't really talked specifics, but given Bolton's rhetoric yesterday, as you know, we reported, and also, you know, what Trump's position has been, and just looking at what, you know, has gone on in China and the sort of continued escalation, I don't think there's any reason to think that the Trump administration would back off its position and, if anything, would continue to make, you know, impose more tariffs and make life more difficult.
Let's turn to the trial of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort now. Prosecutors for Special Counsel Robert Mueller concluded their case yesterday. Now the ball is in Manafort's court. What do we expect from his defense?
So this is always a very dramatic moment in a trial when the prosecution concludes its case. It'll be really interesting to see. Essentially, we'll get a window into how strong a case the defense thinks the prosecution has presented based on what they choose to present. I think that so it's important to remember that the burden of proof is on the prosecution to prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. And so a lot of times when the defense feels like the prosecution hasn't really made their case, they sort of try to underscore that with the jury by saying, you know what, we don't even need to present a defense because we don't think the prosecution has proved what they sought out to prove. So we don't know what will happen exactly yet, but it'll be interesting to see how much of a case the defense thinks they need to present, whether they think Manafort should take the stand or not in his own defense. All of that, I think, will be very interesting to watch. If they present no evidence or little evidence, the case could go to the jury as soon as today, or we could be hearing closing arguments as soon as today, for sure.
Have there been any hints that Manafort will take the stand?
So I would be surprised, personally, if he did that. But I think that, you know, until we know for sure, the defense is certainly holding out that possibility.
And we also have this story about Mr. Manafort turning to Jared Kushner in an attempt to get a banker a job in the Trump administration.
Yeah, this is very interesting. This is sort of one of the examples of how this case, even though it's not directly linked to the Trump campaign, it has some, you know, fallout for the Trump campaign, because basically it came out in the course of the trial that essentially just what you said, that Trump turned to Kushner to try to get a job for a banker in Chicago. And that occurred in late November of 2016, so long after Manafort had been dismissed as the Trump campaign chairman. And so it shows the extent to which Manafort was still at least somewhat involved with those who were on the campaign at that point, the transition team. And that's significant because Trump and his advisors have really tried to downplay Manafort's relationship to the campaign and essentially cast him as just a minor figure. And this cuts against that.
And file this one under Show Me the Money. Kathleen, this Russia probe also appears to be a boon for both sides of the aisle when it comes to fundraising. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so voters don't really put the Russia probe as something that they put high on their list of things that they are going to be voting on this November, but it does seem like both sides are using it to raise money. Democrats are essentially saying that, you know, in order for Trump to be impeached, they would, if there would be a reason to do that, in order for Trump to be impeached, that they would need to take control of Congress or at least the U.S. House. And Republicans, meanwhile, are saying that they're the only ones that they need to retain power in order to block Democrats from essentially using what they've characterized as a witch hunt to try to impede Trump's presidency. So both sides are really kind of taking the narrative that they've been spinning on this probe and really applying it to their fundraising pitches.
Can you really strip that down to its simplest form? Or basically, are they saying if you want Trump impeached, send us money?
That's basically it. Yeah, in its simplest form, that's it. And on the other side, if you don't want Trump impeached, send us money.
There you go. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you very much. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
All right, thank you, Bob. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. And here's John Tucker.
Steiner Henske's is a modern-day scarecrow. He chases birds away from farmers' fields and keeps them from munching on valuable crops. He doesn't hang from a pole wearing a straw hat and checkered shirt. Instead, Steiner uses lasers.
The birds perceive this this laser beam as like a physical stick. They get scared, they fly away. Originally, we were a laser company. So with that experience, we knew, well, what type of light we could start to use for this application. And, well, we developed something for scaring birds in an animal-friendly manner.
As CEO of Bird Control Group, he leases lasers at about $1,000 a month and has his team strategically place them at farms, vineyards, airports, and industrial sites. The random beams of light are highly visible but harmless. With offices in the U.S. and Netherlands, the company says it's been doubling revenue every year. It's now seeking capital to expand. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. We continue to watch shares of Home Depot this morning. They're up 0.7%. Home Depot offered more evidence that the U.S. housing market is still humming along. It reported second quarter sales that impressed investors. The home improvement chain said same store sales increased 8% in the 3 months that ended July 29th. That topped the projected 6.5% increase that was compiled by Consensus Metrics. That was welcome news for investors after results disappointed in the previous quarter with a longer winter pushing off outdoor renovations. S&P futures are higher this morning. They're up 11 points. Dow futures up 96. NASDAQ futures up 38. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. CAC in Paris up about 0.25%. The FTSE 100 is little changed. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.89%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.63%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 67 cents to $67.87 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.25% or $2.90 to $12.01.80 an ounce. And Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.